Hello, and welcome to State of Our Workforce Unpacked. My name is Henry Danner, and I'm the Network Manager at the National Fund for Workforce Solutions. Unpacked takes the national conversations from State of Our Workforce and brings them to the ground level, spotlighting how workforce equity shows up in communities across our network. It's where our nationally powered, locally driven ethos comes to life. This month, I'm excited to be in conversation with Catlin Hale, Director of Career Pathways at the United Way of Metropolitan Dallas. Together, we'll unpack how their new construction partnership network brings together the right mix of partners to help workers connect to high quality, living wage jobs and provide employers with the skilled, diverse workforce they need to thrive. Hello, and welcome to State of Our Workforce Unpacked. We will dig deeper into the incredibly impactful work of our network partners and what they're doing across the country. Today, we're exploring a critical challenge facing communities across the country, ensuring that workers have a clear and supported pathways to good jobs. In industries like construction, where demand is high, but barriers to entry are steep, too many workers struggle to navigate their way to stable living wage careers. We're lucky enough to have network partners in Dallas that are tackling this challenge head on through their Pathways to Work program, which brings together training providers, community organizations, and employers to deliver industry-aligned training and support services. At the heart of this effort is the Construction Partnership Network, a collaborative model that aligns workforce training with employer needs, creating real opportunities for workers while solving critical talent shortages in the industry. So to help us understand how this model works and what other communities can learn from it, we're joined today by Catlin Hale, Director of Career Pathways at the United Way of Metropolitan Dallas. Catlin, how are you today?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you, Henry?
I'm doing good. I can't complain. You know, the last time I saw you, we were in Puerto Rico under sunny blue skies for our annual network gathering. So we're not in Puerto Rico, but I hope that all is well with you on your end.
Thank you. Yes, the heat is here, but the views are not quite as great as they were in Puerto Rico.
Okay. That's understandable. So let's dig into this conversation, shall we?
Yes, let's do it.
All right. So first and foremost, it would be great just to know some background on the Pathways to Work program and a little bit about how the Construction Partnership Network came to be and how it works and what are some of the goals.
Sure. So the Pathways to Work program is part of the community impact team at United Way of Metropolitan Dallas. Mm-hmm. And United Way really focuses on three pillars: education, income, and health. And Pathways to Work is in the income pillar. And we have certain goals that we call our Aspire 2030 goals. And for income, our goal is to increase by 20% the number of young adults who are earning a living wage in the local economy, and which will add $800 million to the local economy. And so that's a win-win-win for everyone here in North Texas. And so, you know, one of the ways that we do that, that we encourage this growth, is to equip young adults for living wage jobs. We want to make sure that they have the skills that they need to succeed. And we invest in short-term certification programs and just general workforce readiness. And then we also build partnerships between local workforce entities to make sure that everybody is collaborating and on the same page and reaching these goals. And then we also develop innovative solutions that can scale the success of the training providers. And so the way that the construction industry partnership came to be is that we were digging into some of our data and some of our outcomes from the last few years and realized that there were a lot of folks who were completing construction-related certifications, and there was a drop-off when it came to getting hired in the construction industry. And then there was a bigger drop-off when we talked about the retention into, you know, the 30, 60, 90, 180-day retention in that industry. And so at the same time, we had employers coming to us and saying, there's so much growth in North Texas. We have so many projects coming here. We have so many buildings that we are under contract, but we aren't getting the workforce that we need. And then we had, you know, the training partners, the community college, and other community-based organizations saying, we can't get people hired. And so we are kind of in a unique position where we're able to be the mediator in that way. And we have a lot of different connections and we are able to get people into the same room. And so that is what we did. We just started making phone calls, started emailing people, and there was a great response. And so we've had our first meeting so far. We plan to have quarterly large group meetings and then more frequent working group meetings. But we've had our first meeting at the end of April, and we had over 10 employers and even more community-based organizations and training providers. We had lots of representatives from our local community college that's a great partner of ours, the Dallas College. Mm-hmm. And Dallas College has a next-gen sector industry partnership in a lot of the high-demand sectors here. And so this doesn't compete with that work, but it aligns with that work and just allows a more narrow focus to really focusing on the pipeline between training and hiring and retention.
Wow. Yeah, that sounds great. It sounds like there's a lot of moving parts naturally. And with your organization playing like that middleman role, I'm sure that there are challenges that have come up with just like getting training providers aligned with employer needs in the construction sector. So can you tell us a little bit about those challenges and how you all have worked to overcome them so far?
Sure. I think initially the challenge that was coming about and was clear by, you know, the need for this group was just communication. And I think, mm-hmm. you know, sometimes nonprofits or any training provider have capacity issues. And when you're doing that role, you're often a case manager, you are teaching the classes, you're a financial coach, you're a career coach, you're so many different things, and actual connections with employers can kind of fall down to the bottom of the priority list. And at the same time, employers are often contacted by multiple different service providers trying to make a connection. And sometimes that is a burden to have the same conversation with 10 different entities. And so in order to make sure that everybody is on the same page and kind of lighten the lift for everyone, we thought it would be helpful for us to just convene this group so that there's consistency in communication and so that we can get really an understanding on both sides. You know, the community-based organizations and the training providers can advocate for the needs of their clients, and the employers can also explain their needs and make sure that they're on the same page so that we're setting people up for success and really equipping them for the jobs that they are going to be seeking in the future.
Yeah, that's excellent. I think when you have a middleman, like, it solves a lot of problems with capacity issues and things of that nature. So it sounds like y'all are doing a great job with some of that. So at the National Fund, we have these career navigation journey maps. They're on our website for those who are interested in checking them out. And we have one for construction workers. And the map pretty much shows the pathway for someone to go from one place to another. So for a career in construction, that pathway is often filled with a lot of barriers and obstacles. So can you tell us a little bit about how the initiative or the partnership that you have addresses those barriers and how it helps workers to navigate some of those challenges?
Sure. So one of the ways that we are able to advocate for workers is to really just communicate the barriers to employment. You know, sometimes transportation is an issue for construction because it's particularly in Dallas, you know, we don't have a great public transportation system, but often the job sites are off the public transportation path anyway. And then if you need tools or you need materials to be able to go, a lot of times if you're hired by a contractor, you are expected to bring your own toolkit and to know all of those things, to have your own vehicle to take your tools there. So that's one thing. You know, childcare is a barrier, although not as much in the construction industry, but we have invested in some like women in construction trades programs. And so sometimes that is an increasing barrier. And so I think just adding awareness for an employer to realize what it takes for someone to truly get to work every day on time, I think that that really goes a long way, is just, you know, pointing out. And it's obvious to some people who work in this field, but if you're pretty far removed from that, if you've always had your own car, if you've always had everything you needed to be successful, then you don't always think about the barriers that other people have. And so just being able to educate employers on the barriers is one thing that's really important. And then we also have been able to invest in wraparound support for clients who go through our training programs, whether that's, you know, gas cards or rental assistance while they're in training or something like that, just to get them started and get them going. I think that that has been really helpful already and will continue to be beneficial. And a lot of our organizations provide a toolkit that clients can use and that is their own after they graduate. And but that's a big expense that a grant is not always going to cover if they're if it has really restrictive funding or really restrictive budgeting. But now that we have more employers on board, they are excited to say, oh, well, we'll sponsor a toolkit for everybody and we'll put our name on it or whatever it is. And so it's a great publicity opportunity for these employers. And it's also a great opportunity for them to experience a graduation and to hear how a training program has changed someone's life and then also incorporate that directly into a hiring event. So that's our goal moving forward, just to get them more involved in not only sponsorship of these students as they go through, but also, you know, more direct hiring and more direct involvement in the process.
Yeah, that is really amazing. And what I love about what you said is like these little things that may begin taken for granted about the lived experience or current, you know, circumstances of workers, like reminding employers of that and being a voice for those folks that go through the, that have those challenges and barriers to face. But also you've created like an environment where it's a win-win for employers and workers. And I think that that is the power of an initiative like what you're doing. So the last thing I want to talk to you about or just ask you, the National Fund, we have an initiative, Advance in Workforce Equity in Energy and Infrastructure, and it's seeking to do a lot of the things that you outlined in this conversation. So what I would like to know, and I'm sure the people out there would love to know, is how the communities that are involved in this initiative or anyone doing this kind of work can learn from the experience that you've gained so far. I know your initiative is new, but just like, is there any gems or any little nuggets or wisdom or things that you would share with them that they should factor in to be successful?
You know, I think that the current climate can be challenging for these types of initiatives, but I think being able to communicate that, like you mentioned, it is a win-win. You know, it's a win for employers to get employees who will be dedicated and who will be excited to come to work every day. And it's a win for clients to start working for employers who really understand some of the struggles and barriers that they face and want to partner in supporting them to get out of those situations and, you know, improve their lives and the lives of their children. I think that it's when you communicate it through those lenses, I think it's much easier to make the sell, particularly right now. And I think just making sure to communicate the value add to employers, but also using the opportunity that you have to speak to job quality and to speak to all the ways that, you know, they can do some reflection about retention rates or whatever that is, and making sure that they're actually creating a good place that people will want to work. I think it takes communication on both sides and accountability on both sides. And I think that that is something that we have already learned and are already really trying to incorporate. And, you know, just allowing the employers as many opportunities as possible to get involved, whether that's coming to a graduation, sponsoring a graduation, coming to a hiring event, sponsoring a hiring event. I mean, this is a really good way to get your foot in the door by just saying, hey, we're going to meet your need of providing a better trained workforce, and we're making sure that we're giving you everything you need in an employee. But once you have them in the door for that, then you can also include and incorporate all of these other job quality educational opportunities that are really important for everyone.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. And I just love that everyone has a seat at the table at various steps of the process, mm-hmm. so that everyone is feeling truly in alignment and engaged around the success of workers and the success of employers. That's really wonderful. It really is. Well, Catlin, this has been really an amazing conversation. I've learned so much. It's been brief, I know, but I'm really looking forward to following up and just seeing how things go as the partnership progresses and hearing, you know, more success stories and how you've addressed more challenges. So I want to thank you for joining us today. Take care.
Thank you.
State of Our Workforce Unpacked is a production of the National Fund for Workforce Solutions. This episode was produced by Joshua Enoch. The music in this episode is produced by Alex Productions. You can find past episodes of State of Our Workforce Unpacked on our website at www.nationalfund.org. Be sure to follow the National Fund for Workforce Solutions on LinkedIn to watch live episodes of State of Our Workforce Unpacked. Don't forget to subscribe to State of Our Workforce wherever you get your podcasts. We appreciate you tuning in and look forward to bringing you more valuable conversations in the future.